Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Tuesday at 9 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, first off, Merry Christmas. Thanks for taking time to join us. I told you last week on the show that I would not talk about the Pro Bowl at all this week. I intend to uphold that promise, and promise I will not bore you with those details.
I guess there's probably other stuff to talk about today.
I would say so. And starting with the game on Sunday Night Football for the Titans against the Packers, they just get shellacked in that game. Green Bay did whatever they wanted to do offensively and won that game 40-14. Did the thrashing that the Titans took against the Packers on Sunday Night Football change your opinion of them in any way?
No, I think it probably accentuated some of the thoughts that we've had about this team. You know, we talked about it going into this game, sort of what the scenario was that was lining up, and part of what we talked about was, okay, you have Aaron Rodgers, who's playing on another plane right now, and then you have the Titans, who have to figure out a way to get to him, to get him on the ground, you know, to pressure him and force him out of his comfort zone. And I think, to me, this was the game that just sort of tells you, okay, well, the Titans roster is what it is now. In terms of a pass rush, the ability to get pressure, there's a reason why the team's last in the league in sacks. The grand design to bring in a couple of guys this past offseason who would change the dynamic of their ability to get pressure without, you know, really having to scheme it a lot and expose yourself or gamble, that fell apart, you know, when Beasley didn't work out, when, you know, Clowney, his health went south and you didn't have someone there to step into a role now late in the season to create some havoc. This is what you are. And I think that was just sort of, as you watched Green Bay and as you said, Rodgers kind of do what he wanted to do, you sat there and you said, okay, well, look, someone's got to show up at some point here. Somebody has to affect this game and get on a tear. And I remember when I was watching, I saw the Wyatt Ray sack and I thought, okay, let's see now what happens. You know, do they feed off this? Can they turn this into something else? And it just never happened. And so I think the Titans are sitting there and they're staring at a reality that because the roster is what it is, you either have to manufacture a pass rush somehow, which means, you know, typically if you don't have guys that are getting there, you're going to have to scheme for it. And if you have to scheme for it, it means that you're going to expose part of your defense because you're risking things. Whether it's drawing up certain blitzes or, designing pressures. If you don't have guys that can do it on their own, you have to rob Peter to pay Paul. And then you look at the back end of the defense and, that's what's got to hold up if you're going to scheme things. So I don't know. It's a tough reality. You see off-season plans that did not work out the way that, a multitude really of off-season plans that didn't work out the way the Titans thought they would defensively. You know, you don't have a coordinator right now, which, you know, I think complicates things a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if that's something that gets addressed going into this off-season. It's hard to come out of that one feeling great about what can change about the Titans defense, particularly from a pressure standpoint at this stage.
Okay, so let's go the other side of the ball, because obviously we've known the Titans have been terrible on defense all year. Bad night, bad conditions. It didn't matter to the Packers, but one bad night offensively. So, I'm trying to find some sunshine for Titans fans. Any chance that, like, Arthur Smith doesn't get hired away to be a head coach somewhere now?
I'll say this. There's not going to be – I don't know there are going to be enough openings. You know, I think there was a chance that, earlier in the season when you're sitting there, you're like, man, there could be 8, 9, maybe 10 jobs open, considering, you had a number of coaches that were fragged during the season. And now I think that's dialed back a little bit. Vic Fangio – is going to be fired. I think, in Chicago, Matt Nagy. I think some of these jobs, receding a little bit from the idea of change. And then what I'm hearing you know, some of these other teams are looking for. You know, the Jets, I think, are kind of looking more for a program leader, which is going to lean into, you know, an older guy with probably some experience. We've yet to kind of see some of these things shape up, but yeah, I don't think I would be surprised. Let me put it to you that way. If he were to land a job at this stage, just because of the lack of openings, you know, we're probably going to have half the number of openings that I thought maybe we would. And, look, the Green Bay game, as you said, it's a weather game. Okay. And you get into a situation where, particularly as it starts to get out of hand, you have to change, you know, what you do offensively. I'm not going to lose my mind, you know, over how the offense played in that game. I thought the one thing I did raise an eyebrow at a little bit, you know, the Packers got some pressure and they're able to do that, but usually, you know, they expose themselves a little bit to the run game that wasn't able to, I guess, you know, Tennessee wasn't able to sort of jump on that consistently. And then, you know, some of the turnovers obviously created more problems than you would like, but I'm not so worried about the offense. I think the Titans can affect things offensively, and this was just a, you know, it was a tough game that, you know, got out of hand. But you have to, I'm just telling you, I think particularly as you get into the postseason, a lot of momentum can flow out of a defense, you know, bringing something to the table. And if you just can't get off the field on third down, or you know, you just can't get Aaron Rodgers on the ground and sort of give your offense a little more momentum, help them out at the times that they need it, or force some turnovers, that's going to deflate you pretty quickly. And I think the Titans are going to run it. There's just too many good quarterbacks in the NFL now, and the chances of you running into a mediocre quarterback, good luck. I mean, it's. I think those days are gone. There might be one mediocre quarterback in each conference that makes the postseason now.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Charles, we saw the Bills last night just dismantle the Patriots 38-9, and how awful that Patriots offense is right now. But you flip around to the NFC, and Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks look like they're starting to click offensively at the right time. I know it's been inconsistent. I know it's been up and down with that team this year. How big of a threat are the Bucks in the NFC with the way they're playing right now?
Well, defensively, let's see what they do defensively. I mean, I think that's been the two things about the Bucks that I think have undermined them this year is you've seen games where Brady's gotten hit, and that's not different for him in his career. He's not a guy who likes to get hit, and he can get a little antsy, and he gets a little inaccurate at times. Not consistently, but at certain times where he needs a completion, you know, he'll sail a ball. So are they going to be able to protect him? I think consistently he's had a little more success, you know, downfield than I think people have given them credit for. People are like, oh, you know, it's this vertical offense and he's not throwing as many balls to the backs. And there is some element of that, but I think Antonio Brown now is starting to work into this role where, between he and Gronk, Tom has the safety valves that he needs, and it's helped him, you know, get the ball out a little bit more quickly at times that they haven't been able to protect. But I think for Tampa, I think defensively, that they've been wildly inconsistent this year. Sometimes they look fantastic. Sometimes it looks like, you know, a team that could be a top, you know, 2, 3, 4 defense, in the NFL or in the NFC every single week. And then other times, you know, they'll get torn up. And it's interesting because you go back and the game, I thought their best game of the season when they beat Green Bay, and Rodgers had his worst game of the season. The defense was off off the rails, was killing it. And they haven't been able to, you know, just maintain that consistency. But they'll be interesting. I've said this, I feel like every single NFC team has some kind of an Achilles heel, although I'll say Green Bay now is stepping into, you know, some momentum here, and they look a lot less fallible than they used to. But the disparity between what Tom Brady has done in Tampa and what Bill Belichick has done in New England has been a heck of a storyline this year. And this is probably the only year where I can't remember the last time I've really heard Bill have to explain himself on anything. And this whole idea of, you know, how money was spent and, you know, hey, we were going to get to this point where money was going to become a problem and it was going to affect the roster. I think that's really interesting. And it's entertaining to see Bill sort of put in that situation now where he has to sort of explain why things didn't work out the way they did. Man, that offense, you're right though. That offense is just, I thought it would be spectacular after the first couple games of the season, and it's been anything but.
Yeah, and I know NFL fans around the world are really feeling a lot of sympathy for Bill and the Pats right now.
Yeah, they
just love the screaming into the phone last night. That's got some lasting power.
The thing about last night too is just the Bills. It was funny because when the season started, people were like, "Well, hey, you know, this could be the recession year for the Patriots, and you know, it's going to give the Bills this chance to." I think there was this thought process of like the Bills are going to ascend through the recession of the Patriots. And the Bills, if you talk to people, the Bills, they were like, we're taking it. They were like, we are like, we feel like we are, you know, ready to take this step. And I'm telling you, last night was the, we're going to show you, like, we're not, it's not about these guys receding. We're just ready to pound them. We're ready. And that's what that game was last night. I mean, you know, Josh Allen played fantastically. I mean, you know, I really think Brandon Bean probably is the executive of the year this year. It's funny because the people who often deserve executive of the year, they don't get it because their build is over a couple of seasons. And I know a lot of people get votes because of what they did the previous offseason. But I mean, when you look at the build of the Buffalo Bills, he deserves it just because of how he's constructed this team so consistently over the last couple of years, and everything that's coming together right now is just the multitude of decisions that have really worked out well for them.
Well, speaking of the Bills, you know, you don't want to rip me. I said you can rip me away last week. I said Tannehill's better than Josh Allen. You know, don't be hesitant. I get ripped all the time, but
I'm not going to rip you. Just, you know, look, Josh Allen had a great game, and I'm not going to, you know, Joe's saying this because I was texting him last night.
Like, oh, what do you think about Josh Allen, huh, buddy?
Yeah, right. Hey, you got to admit, he played a fantastic game. And again, some of the things that I said last week, like he's got this ability to make throws that other people in the NFL don't. And, you know, I think the leadership aspect of what he's become is probably the most surprising. I mean, I think, and you and I were texting about this last night, just how his development, a number of people were wrong on him. And I think I even said to Joe last night, what's interesting to me is there were a number of people that were wrong about what he could or couldn't do or how quickly he could develop and, you know, the problems he would have. And, you know, there were people wrong on Justin Herbert too. And it's interesting because I had a guy in the AFC who he did all the cross checks on quarterbacks and they were looking closely at quarterback, and he just ripped Herbert to me. Like, I mean, just consistently. And we were a couple of games into the season. He called me and he was like, "Hey man, I was wrong." He's like, "I completely blew it. This guy's amazing. Like, I was completely wrong on that." And you just don't see guys say that after watching a guy a couple of games in the NFL. It's interesting to me that you see some stud quarterbacks that people clearly blew. And it probably shows that there's still a ways to go in terms of, you know, personnel evaluations in terms of what guys can do, you know, away from just the skill set they bring to the table. Because I think both Herbert and Allen, two of the things that were questioned was like, how are they going to connect with teammates? Are they ready to lead? You know, do they have this extra ability outside of just their raw skill level to really become great? And I think both of those guys have shown that this season, and that's you know, frustrating, I think, for some front offices that don't know quite how you measure that. There's a million different theories on how you measure things like that.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Charles, great stuff as always, my man. We appreciate you taking time to join us, and we'll talk to you in the new year. Hope you have a great week.
All right, sounds good, guys. Let's talk playoffs next week.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that discussion, as always, with Charles Robinson, one of the best in the business. When we come back, an impassioned speech from J.J. Watt this past Sunday for the Texans after their loss to Cincinnati. How will that affect the Texans in the game on Sunday against the Titans? We'll discuss that on the way back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans fans, Corner Pub is the place to check out the game with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown, and great beer specials, including $1 off of Yazoo and Happen Harry's draft beers, plus Happen Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue this Sunday. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 1 to 3 p.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Houston Texans. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders and is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. And remember, Corner Pub locations will be following social distancing and safety guidelines, so make sure that you keep that in mind. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to get to the J.J. Watt clip here in just a few minutes because he had some impassioned words about the Texans, the state of the NFL, how you approach doing your job when you're down and out of it after your season is essentially over at this point. Really cool stuff from J.J. Watt. We'll discuss that here in a minute. But, Joe, Charles Robinson, our man from Yahoo Sports, had some interesting thoughts in the last segment talking about Arthur Smith, maybe what the future could look like in him for him in terms of finding an open head coaching position, why he may not be as bullish on it as some others are at this point. Here's what Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports had to say.
I'll say this. There's not going to be, I don't know there are going to be enough openings. You know, I think there was a chance that, you know, earlier in the season when you're sitting there, you're like, man, there could be 8, 9, maybe 10 jobs open, considering, you know, you had a number of coaches that were fragged during the season. And now I think that's dialed back a little bit. You know, I don't, you know, Vic Fangio isn't going to be fired. I think, you know, in Chicago, you know, Matt Nagy, I think some of these jobs, you know, receding a little bit from the idea of change. And then what I'm hearing, you know, some of these other teams are looking for, you know, the Jets, I think, are kind of looking more for a program leader, which is going to lean into, you know, an older guy with probably some experience. We've yet to kind of see some of these things shape up, but yeah, I don't think I would be surprised. Let me put it to you that way. If he were to land a job at this stage, just because of the lack of openings, you know, we're probably going to have half the number of openings that I thought maybe we would.
So, Joe, you hear that from Charles there talking about Arthur Smith and how he would be surprised if he finds a head coaching job this offseason, just given the limited number of openings around the league. And I think a lot of Titans fans just almost assume at this point it's a foregone conclusion that Arthur Smith is not going to be here and that he's going to be a head coach as soon as next year. But what did you make of those thoughts and comments from Charles there? And what do you think of him maybe not being a head coach next year and coming back as the offensive coordinator for the Titans?
Yeah, well, of course, I tweeted when Charles said that, because obviously that catches your ear. There's a lot of responses of like, oh, great news. All right, well, don't stop worrying about that. Move on. I mean, you know, Charles said he doubts it. Let's not take it as – he didn't just say Arthur Smith is definitely not getting a job, but he makes a good point. I mean, if the Broncos aren't changing – certainly the Chicago situation has changed dramatically here at the end of the season, right? I mean, they're winning into the freaking playoffs, which is – it's quite a comment on the difference between the AFC and NFC this year. But if that's the case, so he just said Jets. He thinks they're looking more for an established head coach. That would leave, to by my count, Texans, Falcons, Lions, Jaguars, and I'm assuming Chargers.
Yeah.
So five jobs. If that, you know, if, as he said about the Jets, that they're more for, you know, looking for the more the established head coach. So, I mean, it's certainly, if you think about five jobs, you can easily find five people to, you know, to fill those jobs. And without Arthur Smith getting a job, I don't know that I would feel 100% comfortable as a Titans fan or as a member of the Titans organization that it's not going to happen. But it seems like the odds have gotten better for people who want Arthur Smith to be here next year in the past few weeks.
I think so. And, I mean, that's good news, obviously, for the Titans if he's able to stay around and you're able to have some continuity moving forward. And that goes back to, you know, we've talked about how, you know, if things don't work out and the Titans either lose this Sunday and find a way not to get in the playoffs, or if they're bounced early on in the playoffs, how it kind of feels like a wasted season, a lost season for this offense based on how good it's been, and you never really know what it's going to look like next year. Well, part of that conversation to me has been you don't know what it's going to look like next year because you don't know if Arthur Smith is going to be back as offensive coordinator. It certainly would go a long way if he is back to have this offense playing back to the capability that we've seen it from this year, even though, I mean, we'll see about what happens with Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis and what, from a personnel standpoint, they look like next year. But getting Arthur Smith back, I think, certainly makes you feel better if you're a Titans fan. If he's not able to go out and find a head coaching job, about your chances of repeating this type of a performance offensively next year with him back in the fold.
Oh, massively important. I mean, and you think about – just think about Mike Vrabel. If he has to hire two coordinators in the offseason, like, you know, Titans fans would like him to focus in on hiring a good defensive coordinator and not have to also figure out OC. And it just – I mean, obviously Arthur Smith and Ryan Tannehill have a great relationship. That's a big part of all these things. That's how a lot of people get head coaching jobs in this league, because they develop and have a good – chemistry with a quarterback who excels in an offense that produces. I mean, Brian Daboll, I think we talked about him earlier in the show. I mean, that's a guy who I think would be ahead of Arthur Smith in the pecking order probably right now, because he has transformed someone who a lot of people, including myself, I'll raise my hand from a year ago, thought, this guy's it's Josh Allen. He's going to be average at best. He's just too erratic. You know, he's athletic, but he's not consistent enough. And he's gotten him to a point of, you know, he's a Pro Bowler. So I can see it. I mean, I hear it being me. I mean, there's a lot of guys. I think that, Robert Saleh out in San Francisco, there's a lot of people who probably would be higher on a lot of lists than Arthur Smith. That doesn't mean I still think he's going to get interviews. I think he's going to have chances, and I'm not discounting the idea that he would blow someone away in an interview and vault himself to the top of a list. I would not rule that out at this point. But if he can come back, that's a big, big deal for the Titans in 21, because obviously he's been very good.
Well, and it's also, and I don't know if we've talked about this angle of it enough, but what does Arthur Smith feel about this? Like, is he in a position where he'll take any job that's offered to him that's available, as long as it's a head coaching job? Or is he in a place where you're comfortable here in Nashville? You've obviously got a good thing going, both from a financial situation and also just a comfortability situation with this offense and how good it's going. Like, if it's the wrong situation, like if you're Arthur Smith and you don't want to be any part of going to the Detroit Lions and taking over the head coaching job, can
you
wait?
Just for example.
Like, yeah, like just for example, just the Lions, throwing that out there. Like, do you wait? Like, I think a lot of people just assume that if it's an NFL head coaching job, you automatically take it. And maybe you do if you're Arthur Smith. But I also think we've seen people in the past be pretty selective about the jobs that they want to take.
Right. Well, that's exactly right. You gotta feel good about the situation. So if I'm Arthur Smith looking at those jobs, I like Justin Herbert. I like Deshaun Watson. And I like the idea of Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
So the Texans, Chargers, and Jaguars, they are appealing to me. I also like Matthew Stafford, but run away. Run away. And then I don't know about the Falcons. You know, I think Matt Ryan it's kind of similar, I guess, to the Stafford situation, other than, you know, he's actually been in a Super Bowl. Kind of an interesting quarterback situation they're in. But I think those three jobs have to be appealing, because a lot of times – to your point, you get more of a Jets situation, you know, or like usually it's just bad teams. And in a lot of cases, they don't have a quarterback. And so you're coming in and maybe you're going to have a high pick and you're going to have a say in who you're drafting. But that's such a gamble. Who knows what you're going to end up with there. So,
right. Like the Jets job, it became so much less attractive the last couple of weeks. Like, it's not attractive anyway with the New York media and the disaster and tire fire that franchise in. But when they screwed it up and lost the first overall pick and you're not going to get Trevor Lawrence to go along with it, I mean, golly, I mean, you'd have to do a heck of a sell job to get me to go coach the New York Jets at this point.
Yeah. Now, look, I think Arthur Smith has a, you know, I mean, I think he's an ambitious coach. And obviously he's moved up here and it seems like most coaches at some point want to have their own thing, of course. And so I think that'll happen for him. But, yeah, he can be selective. And so if there's three jobs that to me would be appealing, then, you know, if he were to get an opportunity for any of those jobs, then, you know, I would think he would take them. But if you're confining it to three, is he going to be able to, you know, move past some of these other, you know, again, some of these lists are, you know, they are media driven lists, right?
Right.
I mean, you have to remember that. I mean, surprising hires that don't go according to what everyone expects happen every year in this league too. So I do think Arthur Smith in an interview setting is going to impress people. And I don't know how you couldn't be impressed with what he's done in this short period of time.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be interesting to monitor. Some interesting comments there from Charles Robinson. We'll see how it plays out with Arthur Smith and what his future looks like as the next few weeks unfold here with the Titans. When we come back, we will get to the J.J. Watt clip. Some pretty incredible stuff he said after the game against their loss to the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday. How does that affect the game coming up against the Titans? We'll discuss it when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Mike, easy situation right now, task go into Sunday, go to Houston, win a game, and suddenly you have an AFC South title. Does that make it easier this week with the stakes being simple like that?
Well, I think rarely do you get a second opportunity at something, and I think that's the message this week, that we've got a second opportunity to be able to go on the road, win a game, win our 11th game, win the division, host a home playoff game. So, you know, we're going to have to put everything that we have into it and continue to work and continue to try to prepare and fix the things that cost you.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday in his press conference with the media, and a second chance indeed. Things did not go well on Sunday night for the Titans against the Packers, but they've got another opportunity on Sunday to win the division for the first time since 2008. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning. And Joe, looking ahead to this game for the Titans against Houston, I'm interested to see how Houston approaches this game. We talked about, you know, Deshaun Watson yesterday and the injury that he sustained. Sounds like he's going to be okay, and then he'll be available to play in this game if he is available. Romeo Crennel saying, hey, look, he's going to play if he's available to play. I don't think a huge surprise there, given what we know about Deshaun Watson and how competitive he is. But Houston, 4-11, their defense is absolutely atrocious. We've seen it time and time again this year. They've had trouble stopping just about anybody, including the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday. And after the game Sunday, some very interesting comments from J.J. Watt. He was very fired up. They're 4-11. Obviously, this season has not gone the way that they expected it to go. But J.J. Watt had kind of a plea, kind of a calling out of not only some of his teammates probably, but NFL athletes as a whole, talking about, you know, trying to get motivated this time of year when you're 4-11, the season's almost over. How do you do it? How do you show up to work every day and continue to put forth the effort? Here's what J.J. Watt had to say after the game against Cincinnati on Sunday.
We're professional athletes getting paid a whole lot of money. You can't come in and put work in the building, go out to the practice field and work hard, do your lifts and do what you're supposed to do. You should not be here. This is a job. We are getting paid a whole lot of money. There are a lot of people that watch us and invest their time and their money into buying our jerseys and buying a whole bunch of and they care about it. They care every single week. We're in week 16 and we're 4-11. And there's fans that watch this game, that show up to the stadium, that put in time and energy and effort and care about. So if you can't go out there and you can't work out, you can't show up on time, you can't practice, you can't want to go out there and win, you shouldn't be here. Because this is a privilege. It's the greatest job in the world. You get to go out and play a game. And if you can't care enough, even in week 17, even when you're trash, when you're 4-11, if you can't care enough to go out there and give everything you've got and try your hardest, that's So that's how. There are people every week that still tweet you, that still come up to you and say, hey, we're still rooting for you. We're still behind you. They have no reason whatsoever to. We stink. But they care, and they still want to win, and they still want you to be great. That's why. Those people aren't getting paid. We're getting paid handsomely. That's why. And that's who I feel the most bad for, is our fans. The people who care so deeply in the city, and the people who love it and who truly want it to be great. And it's not. And that sucks as a player to know that we're not giving them what they deserve.
So that was J.J. Watt after the game on Sunday for Houston against Cincinnati. They fall to 4-11 on the season. And, Joe, that was one of the best rants I've ever heard. I mean, that was awesome. You're talking about a guy in J.J. Watt who gets it, and I get it. He's probably not a overly popular guy here in Nashville just based on the amount of success that he's had against the Titans in his career. But that was a heck of a response from J.J. Watt in that clip that we played there. And talking about a guy who gets it, I would expect to see the best that J.J. Watt has to offer on Sunday against the Titans.
Yeah, that's just an all-time great rant, because it's important perspective, you know, it's about the NFL, it's about his team, but I mean, I think you can probably apply that to a lot of people in the world. I mean, like, have pride in what you're doing and understand, especially, you know, with this kind of platform, understand that there are people who care about what you're doing, you know, whether you think it's a lost cause at this point or not. It felt almost like maybe he was speaking to one or two teammates in particular, yeah, who maybe were showed up late for a lift or something. Like, I bet you there's none of that this week. I bet you there's nobody showing up late for a lift or a meeting or anything like that this week. And honestly, like, I mean, I think that that's the kind of thing that maybe does give a team a little bit of a kick in the butt going into this last game. I mean, the Texans have a chance to potentially ruin a season here of a rival.
Yeah, and look, I mean, this is a tough season, obviously, from a mental standpoint as well as a physical standpoint. You know, it's 4-11. If you're coming into week 17 in a normal season and you're 4-11, I mean, it's tough to get through anyway, but at least you know that, all right, you get through this game, you play as hard as you can, you come back, you try again next year. I think it's even tougher this year just based on how the schedule has been with COVID and just all the different things you've got to go through to just get out there and be able to play this year. I do think there's an added grind to it this year that hasn't been there in the past. So I guess I could understand how some guys are just looking forward to, especially if you're on a team like the Texans, getting through this and moving on with your life and getting to the offseason. But I would expect, after what we heard there from J.J. Watt, you better be bringing your best effort if you're a member of the Houston Texans on Sunday against the Titans. I don't know what that looks like on the field. I don't know what that translates to in terms of their ability to win this game against the Titans, because their defense, I think, truly is that bad and that susceptible, particularly in this matchup with Derrick Henry coming in. But I will say, on the other side of the ball, if you're the Titans, based on the way you played defensively all year long, there's a lot still to be concerned about with Deshaun Watson, David Johnson playing better as of late, Brandon Cook, some of the weapons they have offensively. Deshaun Watson and them can come in and put up some points and certainly make it a game. So if you're the Titans, you've got to make sure that you've got your best foot forward on Sunday against Houston.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't – like, from the Titans' perspective, I can't imagine there's a hint of taking anything for granted week. I mean, they played that team and had to go to overtime to beat them. They've had a couple, you know, good games against Watson, a lot of these guys defensively, and they've had some atrocious games against Deshaun Watson. It's kind of been a mixed bag there, but obviously, I mean, they've seen enough of him to understand what he can do to you. And yeah, you feel great about the matchup with that defense, but yeah, I would say that's the side of the ball where, okay, maybe JJ gets them a little bit more fired up to steal a few stops in this game. I mean, they are bad. They are very bad. I mean, the numbers are, and this is basically the worst rush defense in the NFL going against Derrick Henry, looking for 223 to get to 2,000. And by the way, I think his last two games against the Texans, he exceeded 200 yards. But that's, you know, they're going to show up and play. Now, you know, a week like this, I think sometimes where you see differences made is like in the playoffs. Anybody in the playoffs, there's going to be so much extra, even individual film study, you know, on your particular matchup and tendencies, all that stuff. Is there going to be a ton of that with the Texans this week? You know, probably not. I mean, that's, but they're going to show up in practice and do everything. And they already know the Titans well, obviously. They play them twice a year. So that's not as big of a factor either.
No, and look, I'm not saying that, you know, this speech by J.J. Watt is just going to magically propel the Texans in this game, but it is interesting, like, when you think about the teammate aspect of it, like, something there set J.J. Watt off. Like, it's not like this just came out of the blue and he's just been, like, you know, holding this in terms of, hey, I feel like this is something really cool to say right now. It read to me like there may be some teammates of his in Houston that aren't doing the things like he feels like they should be doing. And that was a message directly to his locker room.
And this also, like, reminds me, again, of just how massively Bill O'Brien screwed things up, you know? Because, I mean, again, a team that won the division last year, I mean, they didn't – the Titans got in part because Watson sat, because they already had the division wrapped. I mean, they're up 24-0 in a playoff game. It's been complete disaster since then. I mean, I'm trying to think of how many teams in this league – have a better duo of leaders on both sides of the ball than the Texans have with Watson and Watt. Just in terms of all around, you know, play excellence. And yeah, Watt is diminishing as a player some, but he's still a fiery, great leader, a great spokesman. I mean, great in the community. So is Watson. I mean, how many teams have a better situation that way on both sides of the ball?
That's a great question.
And then like they're 4-11, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, my gosh, what have you done, Bill O'Brien? But you know, again, there's still some things about that team that are dangerous. Things about that team that would be appealing for a potential head coach candidate, maybe Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
Not to get people all panicked. Yeah, I just don't want everybody to just assume that he's not getting a job. But it's wild to see how far they have plummeted. I actually thought that the Titans, Colts, and Texans would all make the playoffs this year, even after the Hopkins trade, which obviously is one of the worst all-time trades.
Coming up next, what have we made so far of Adoree Jackson's performance in two games? We'll talk about that. Also break down some bowl games that are rapidly disappearing around the world of college football. That's coming up here in just a second. But first, I've got a word from FanDuel. The NFL is in the final leg of the season. College basketball is back, and the NBA is tipping off. Add a little excitement to your sports watching experience by betting on all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. There's a reason why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. The app's simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, fun bet types like the same game parlay, and exclusive always-on promotions such as enhanced odds boosts on the biggest events and bet insurance to let you get more action out of every game. And if you win, they get you your winnings in as easily as 24 hours. It's safe. It's easy to use. And I got to tell you, some of the odds boosts they throw out there in specials, they're great. And it's almost like giving away money sometimes. You talked about the show or Spread the Love promotion they ran last night. I think the line got over 100 for the Bills in that game. So a lot of cool things happening on FanDuel Sportsbook. And right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Just place a bet on any game, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back if you don't win your first bet. No strings attached, any bet you want. And if you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. So if you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, what are you waiting on? Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today to get started, and be sure to sign up with promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. It's been a tough time lately for our community, and with the recent events happening in downtown Nashville, ESPN The Game Nashville has set up an information and resource page on our website. So if you're looking for more information, ways to help out local businesses affected, or additional resources, please visit thegamenashville.com/Nashville information. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coy in Clarksville texts in and says, remember when people said Adoree Jackson coming back would help fix the defense? That was wrong. Joe, what do you make of Adoree Jackson and his play through the first couple of games? I know that he got picked on Sunday night at times by Devontae Adams. The tackling was not great. What have you seen out of Adoree Jackson so far? And what do you think he still has left to give with this defense as they come down the stretch here?
Yeah, well, you know, he played 27 snaps against the Lions. I thought he looked pretty good for first football in a whole bunch of time. And then he comes out and here you go. Davante Adams for you. Good luck. He didn't play. He made some bad plays in that. He also, like, no one is going to look good over any kind of stretch of time against Davante Adams. So, I mean, look, I still think it's massive that they got him back and it should make a difference. I think this week is a big test. I mean, you hope that now it's his second full game starting, you know, in a matchup like this, they still have some guys who can run out there, the Texans I'm talking about. And you hope that Adoree Jackson makes a difference. I mean, it's just so early. I mean, he did, you know, again, the one play in particular where, as Mike Vrabel said, like, you got to know where your help is. You cannot give Davante Adams the sideline and get shaken on that play. Give him the sideline. He scores a touchdown. If you just take away the sideline, you turn him into your help. You know, so that was a mistake, and he got beat a few other times. But at this point, like, first of all, Adoree Jackson over this period of time gets built up like he's, you know, Charles Woodson or Deion Sanders. He's not. He's a good cornerback. He's still this team's best cover cornerback, best chance of matching up with a top speed receiver in the NFL, and he should make a difference.
What I'm interested to see, both in this game on Sunday and if they win coming down the stretch in the playoffs here, how aggressive does the Titans coaching staff get on defense with Adoree back in the fold and hopefully back up to full speed at some point soon? Because Charles talked about it earlier in the hour, Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. If you know that you can't generate pass rush, you've got to find a way to manufacture some pass rush, and that's going to leave you vulnerable. That's going to leave you opened in the back end if you're bringing pressure left and right. But you got to do something. You can't just let people like Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen sit back there totally unaffected and throw in the football. So I'm interested to see how much more aggressive, if at all, that they become with Adoree Jackson back, with Butler still in there, with their secondary being healthy coming down the stretch here. I'll be honest, I haven't noticed a ton of difference yet with Adoree Jackson back in there in terms of their aggression, and I'm interested to see if that changes in the Houston game and certainly as they get into the playoffs, assuming they win that Houston game.
Yeah, I mean, even before Adoree came back, I mean, I think they were blitzing a little bit more, and it just a lot of times it hasn't mattered at all. You know, the crazy thing about that Buffalo win going way back, so it's 42-16, and I think the Bills were 13 of 15 on third down, right? Like, which again has to be the only time that's ever happened in NFL history.
Right.
Like, that was one of those nights where they did try different things. Now they got a couple picks, but also, you know, they did try different things. They did get some pressure at times, and he got away from it, you know, and still extended plays, which he's so good at. Deshaun Watson, so good at that. So is Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you know, that's where it's not just the quarterback who can sit back there and pick you apart, but also if once you finally do get someone free who can continue to extend the play on you. I mean, the possible matchups here, if they can get through Sunday, I mean, your best bets would be Miami and Baltimore. You know, you've done a good job on Lamar Jackson. Doesn't mean you always will, but you have. And then the Dolphins are either way, Tua or Fitzmagic. I mean, you know, you feel better about that than some of these other guys that you might face. I'm really fascinated to see if the Bills and the Steelers are going all out this week for the 2 seed.
Yeah, I am too.
That's a really interesting question. Like, what does home field – I mean, you'd rather be home in the divisional round, but how much difference does it actually make this year? No fans for Buffalo, and what, the Steelers have very small, right? Very limited?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, and I don't know exactly what the injury situation is like for the Bills and the Steelers heading into this, but, like, how do you balance if you're the Bills and maybe you've got some guys banged up? How do you balance wanting to finish as high as you can, but also keeping those guys healthy and making them, I guess, fresher heading into the playoffs? To me, like, if I'm in a situation like the Bills are in, health is more important than the seeding at this point based on – you know, just the way that things have gone up until now in the crowd situation.
I would disagree with that to an extent. Because if someone trips up Kansas City, you can host the AFC Championship. And if you're the Bills, hosting in Buffalo in this time of year, you know, could almost be close to what Green Bay hosting this time of year can mean against certain teams.
It can, yeah, but like, possibly. Is there a huge difference between how cold it's going to be in Buffalo and how cold it's going to be in Pittsburgh? Like, I wouldn't think so.
No, but you'd rather have that game on your home field.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just so weird. I mean, obviously, it's just so different with zero fans. Yeah. I mean, the Titans still have, you know, like 15,000 people. That makes a difference. I mean, and that affects the Titans' opponent. I mean, if the Bills aren't all in, then I think the Dolphins have a really good chance of winning that game, and then the Dolphins are probably going to be here in the first week. Otherwise, it's probably the Ravens. So, you know, who would you rather play if you're the Titans, if you're a Titans fan, Dolphins or Ravens?
Well, and also, like, if Buffalo doesn't play and they decide to sit some of their starters, and that hurts you if you're the Titans in the playoff. I mean, you got to win the game against Houston at that point, because you mentioned Baltimore playing Cincinnati, the Colts are playing the Jaguars, the Dolphins are playing the Bills. Like, if the Bills are sitting Josh Allen down for this game, you better make sure if you're the Titans, you win this game and win the division. Otherwise, there's a chance you may not get in.
Yeah, of course, you should also decline an invitation if you don't win, but, you know.
That's true.
You should just opt out of the playoffs if you're the Titans and don't win Sunday. But, hey, you know, they probably won't take my advice.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that they do not take that advice. Joe, we saw it over the weekend. The TransPerfect Music City Bowl has been canceled after the Missouri Tigers pulled out of the game due to a rise in COVID-19 cases in their program. So this is not unique to the Music City Bowl. This is happening all around college football right now with bowl games, but certainly just another punch in the gut of 2020 for Nashville not having the Music City Bowl available to be played this time around here in 2020.
Yeah, it's too bad. You know, I mean, obviously everything with the bowl games, just like everything else, it's a way reduced version, but was actually an appealing game. I was looking forward to the game. It's tough to lose that. I mean, it just, the bowl season feels way different, you know, than, and in recent years, we've seen a lot more players, you know, opting out and things like that, but there's still like a nice kind of rhythm of bowl games kind of building up to bigger and bigger games. And it's just, it's very sporadic. A lot of them have been canceled, and too bad for Nashville on that one. And it feels even more, by far more than any other time. Like, it's basically like the playoff and then a random game here and there.
It really does. And hopefully we're closer and closer to moving out of this where we don't have to have a discussion about bowl games being canceled moving forward. 2021 is right around the corner, and we're all wishing for better days coming up with that. We'll be back tomorrow to continue to look ahead at the big matchup for the Titans on Sunday against the Texans. Everything on the line in that game with the division. That's coming up this week. Darren, Donick, and Chase coming up next here today. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.